Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 86 of the O Woman Podcast. And today I wanted to talk about this really great blog post slash article that I found via Facebook, and read a little bit more about it online. So today we're going to talk about modern motherhood myths. I'm not a mother yet, but I'm still really interested in this. I don't know if I've mentioned in a past episode, but I'm training to be a doula right now. So I'm really interested in motherhood, and I'm excited to know more before I get to become a mother. So it's nice to read about these kind of things. The article that I'm explaining about, that I'm quoting, that I'm saying her main points from, is called 17 Modern Myths That Are Making Motherhood Miserable. It's from a website called revolutionfromhome.com, and the author of the website, her name is Beth Berry. She's a writer, life coach. She has 4 children. And from what I could tell from me looking around on her blog, it looks like, she and her family just moved back from a time abroad for about 4 years. They lived in Mexico. So that's just a little bit about the author of the article. And so I read it and I was really refreshed by her openness, which I could probably credit to her being a life coach, and her humanness, her, kind of rawness. She wasn't writing about, it's hard to wear makeup when you have children, you know, kind of froofy stuff like that. She was writing about real things, real issues that I've heard other mothers that I've talked to share, or to things that I've wondered about. So the first myth that she talks about, if you can't tell from the title, there's 17, and I'm not going to go into detail for all of them just because that would take a really long time, and you can read it yourself. I'm going to put a link to this inside the body of this post. But the first myth that she talks about is that empowerment comes through lucrative careers and upward mobility. That is a myth. And she says that a truer story is that we become more empowered when we take responsibility for our lives and ourselves. It doesn't have to do with having a lucrative career and upward mobility. It has to do with knowing yourself, recognizing who you are, who you want to be, and becoming one with our uniqueness. And this, in turn, she doesn't explicitly say this, but I know that this is the case. This, in turn, is going to teach your children, sons and daughters, and your spouses that you have value no matter what, no matter what your career life is like. You have value as a mother, as a person, as a human being. The second myth is that life as presented in stores and advertising reflects the way life actually is. A lot of us already know this, but think about it. Of course, that's not true. It represents a consumer culture, the reality, quote unquote, that is presented to you, in stores and on the internet and in movies and through ads. It's a seduction is what she says, which is true. It's kind of a seduction into a way to be better, but really the way to be better isn't through these, consumer adventures. They're through being one with yourself, being closer with your family, taking the time to listen to yourself and knowing actually that life is not a fairy tale. Life is raw and hard and easy and great all at the same time. The third myth, she says, is that a desire to stay home with your kids signifies a lack of intelligence, motivation, or competency, which, as many of you know who stay at home with your kids, is not true. It's a freedom of choice issue. You can stay home with your kids or you can go to work. So it's really great that now we live in a world where our culture allows us to do one or the other without, you know, any real consequences. I mean, yes, there are consequences. People might think, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, but you're still allowed to do those things. And just because now women have the ability to go and have careers doesn't mean those women should be stigmatizing the women who don't want to do that. They would prefer to be with their family. You know, it just depends. So we shouldn't be stigmatizing each other. We shouldn't be talking smack about each other. We should be taking care of each other. We're part of the same community. The fourth myth is that a desire to work outside the home signifies a lesser degree or love for or attachment to your kids. This is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. You can't stigmatize women that stay at home, and you can't stigmatize women that choose to go to work. It does not signify less love or less attachment. just the opposite. Women that choose to go to work almost always choose to go to work, whether it's full-time, part-time, you know, volunteer, because they want something extra that gives them a little bit of extra meaning, because maybe they have to because of money. That's a whole other issue. That is a class issue, you know. Or they might choose to do that because they know that showing their children that a busy working mother, both in home and out in the world, is a benefit, is something, you know, if I can do it, you can do it kind of an attitude. The fifth myth, she says, is we can avoid screwing them up by doing more of the right things. And she says that a truer story is that perfect parenting is an illusion. You try really hard, but sometimes you're going to impact your kids in ways that you just didn't mean to. And this myth of motherhood being perfect isn't real. And in my opinion, in your imperfection, that makes you a perfect mother. As long as you're trying, as long as you're caring, as long as you're fully showing who you are and your love to your children, they're going to get it. They're going to understand. And hopefully when they're grown up, if you screwed them up too much, they're going to forgive you. You know, that's a joke. It's unlikely you're going to screw them up too much as long as you're trying. The sixth myth is that balance is what we're all seeking. And she says that balance is actually kind of overrated. Having balance in your life is really hard. You just have to find your center and try to stick with that, even though there's imbalance going on outside your life. The seventh is that we're shorting them, our children, every time we invest in our own needs, desires, and interests. That isn't true. It's our number one responsibility, she says, to take care of ourselves, because that in turn allows us to take care of our children. And if you're a mother, you understand this, that sort of guilt issue with, oh, should I do this for myself or shouldn't I? It isn't just for yourself when you think about it. It is showing your children that you care for yourself and that you value yourself and you're giving yourself extra energy so that you can give them more energy. The eighth is guilt is the price we must pay for the love we experience. And she says that guilt is one of the many prices that we pay for our thoughts and keeping them unchecked. As soon as we get deeper into self-awareness, we're going to be more aware of our ability to have self-love and self-respect. And we're going to be able to say, I don't give these emotions power. I'm choosing to ignore guilt. When I should not feel guilt, I'm not going to feel it. That's something I have an issue with, and I need to get better at that. I think especially before I have kids, because I don't want to teach my kids that feeling guilty as a base emotion when you shouldn't is valuable. It's not. Feel guilty if you punch someone and you feel bad about it, you know. But you don't need to feel guilty for a mistake that's a small mistake or just something that doesn't even have anything to do with you. The ninth is that we'll feel joyful about our mothering experience once everything's lined up and organized. And she says that a truer story is that you experience more joy in the mothering experience when you let go of the idea that organizing your environment is what you need to do. She says that inner peace requires a deep look into both the light and the shadow aspects of our souls, which is true. Sometimes this requires you to heal a little bit, but the truth really is that the joy in the mothering comes from being there and doing it. The tenth myth is that our children's questionable choices reflect bad parenting on our part. And she says that our children are not really our children at all, but people were meant to be as affected by as they are affected by us. And I think that's kind of a good quote. They're not something that we own. We don't own them. They're humans that we chose to put into this world, and we hope to influence them to make them good. But sometimes you can't influence them. They are their own person with their own thoughts and their own personality, and you can try to give them all the good stuff and instill in them all the things that you think they should have, but sometimes that just isn't the way it's always going to be. And then a questionable choice might also be a learning experience for them in teenagerhood that they need to have to learn and grow. You can't fight all their battles for them. The 11th one I particularly like, she says that this myth is there is a right way to parent, which is a myth. She says that she thinks this is one of the most destructive of the myths because then it divides us against each other and also takes away our own intuitive feelings about being a mother and then about being a parent in general. So when you think, oh, there's a right way to do it and I'm not doing it, you're not in touch with your intuition. You're not tapped into it. And if you think there's a right way to do it and I am doing it, then you forgo a lot of those intuitive feelings that you have about maybe making changes and making sure that your children are thriving. The 12th myth is that we must equip our children with as many resources as possible. And she says that even though giving them resources is part of your job, it's just as equally important to give them confidence and understanding that they have inner resources, not external resources. And that's a big one for me, I think, because materialism is such a big deal in our world today, and consumerism, and it's really almost worthless, in my opinion. You need materials to live, and you need some extra materials for creativity purposes and joy in that way. But you don't need as many things as you have. I imagine that's probably one of the biggest struggles I'll face as a mother, trying to refrain from passing out all of these technological resources or just fancy things to my children. Luckily, I don't have that much money, so I can't do it. But and having them fight back, you know, because of modern era and the new crap that kids want. The 13th myth is that more is better. A truer story, she says, is that more is making you miserable. The more you're jamming things into your life, there's like a false sense of abundance. And we really want abundance in our lives. She thinks that we're biologically wired to want that. But we don't have to just accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Ask yourself what you really want and think about the abundance in that, you know, aspect. Not abundance in all things. Abundance in love. Abundance in free time. You know, things like that. The more specific things that are more important to you. The 14th myth is that asking for help is a sign of weakness. And, I mean, we can all say right there, of course that's not true. She also says that even though we're more virtually connected than ever, mothers have never been so isolated in the rearing of children because we're not meant to raise children alone. The concept of independence, doing it all by yourself, while that's a very American kind of survivalism concept, and it might work for some people, most people raise children in teams, whether it's with a partner or with a group of same-aged women or with their sisters or with their female relatives. So dependency is not weakness. Dependency is a very human thing. Humans are wired to be social. So why should we be any less social as we're raising our children? The 15th myth is that you should be enjoying every moment. And this is her quote. She says, "A truer story is that people who say this to you likely either suffer from a great deal of guilt or selective memories regarding their own parenting experiences." So remember that sometimes you want to strangle someone and you feel guilty about it. Or, you know, you have a guilty moment or you feel upset about something or you feel so mad at your kid you're going to just choke them, even though you're not. That is okay. Feeling emotions is okay. Imagining that all things should be pleasant and kind and wonderful is just not the case. And I love this quote that she says. She says, "What they're forgetting is that not all sacred moments are pleasant." Think about birth, for example. That's not pleasant per se. It's sacred and it's intense and it's awe-inspiring and it's magical, but it's not pleasant. Pleasant is the frou-frou word for many things that I don't know what those things are. Damn, I don't even know if I have anything pleasant in my life. You know, in a good way. The 6th myth is that science trumps intuition. And a truer story is that science supplements intuition. And I think that's a really great way to word it. Because there's a lot of great things that we've learned from science. Especially about, you know, psychology and human biology and raising children and things like that. But there's an intuitive understanding that mothers have. It's an animal mothering understanding. And we can't forget that. And the 17th and last myth that she mentions is that your inadequacies are the reason for the frustrations you feel, which I think is a really great one for her to put at the end. That is a myth. The inadequacies that you might feel are the confusion about what kind of mother to be and are you a good mother. It's now inherent in our culture, she says, as well as your level of self-love and self-awareness and self-esteem. There's all these societal structures that are connecting you to things, but they're also giving you all this extra pressure that make you feel like you need to measure up to something, which leads to a lot of frustration and feels like it kind of dictates your life. And then she ends by saying that though untangling ourselves from these myths takes time, the benefits go well beyond increased confidence. Future generations depend on our own investments in ourselves. So I really think that's a great article for you to listen to, or for you to check out. I'll put the link on the, in the body of the post, and I hope you check it out. She seems really fantastic. And thanks for listening again today. I always love talking to you. As always, check out the website, awomanpodcast.com. Leave some comments. You can email me, Emma at awomanpodcast.com. go to iTunes, subscribe and rate the episodes, and then check us out on Facebook, A Woman Podcast. Love talking to you as always, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.